This is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. It's official. Net neutrality rules put into place by the FCC in 2015 have been repealed. Most of the controversy about this decision has centered on the impact the changes will have on residential internet customers, or maybe small businesses. But some in the science community have voiced concern that data-intensive research could suffer, and that could have impacts for all of us. Ari Daniel is a senior digital producer for Nova, and he recently looked into the possible impacts of the net neutrality rule changes on science. Hi, Ari.
Hi there, Heather.
Can we start just with a quick net neutrality explainer? What are these rule changes? What does this repeal actually mean?
So basically, net neutrality is the idea that anyone at any time and in any place can go on the internet and access that content in the same way without any kind of interference. So if you can imagine kind of the information superhighway that is the internet, that highway is a place under net neutrality where all cars are allowed and all traffic has to be treated equally. So there aren't any constraints or fees, no users are privileged over others. And repealing net neutrality means that that's no longer the case. So that internet service providers like Verizon or Comcast can now block, slow, or accelerate certain internet traffic. And they can also charge consumers or content providers more to prioritize particular traffic.
In terms of the science community, obviously, everybody's on email and using the internet for, you know, looking things up, getting access to other people's research. But are there certain fields that are more internet intensive than others?
Yes, I think that's true. There are certain fields that that rely on the volume of information that's being transferred over the internet much less than others. So an example of a field where more internet is required is telepresence, where video streams are routed live, say, from a vessel at sea, and that feed from the bottom of the ocean is transferred back to land in real time. So that requires a lot of bandwidth, more bandwidth, say, than traditional email might. So there are some fields that would require internet more than others.
What about things like climate or weather models or some of these big computer models that we hear about? Are those pretty much, you know, doing their own thing in a standalone system, or are they also relying on the internet connecting to each other in some way?
So I spoke with a meteorologist who told me that he relies on the internet for all of his work. He said he's not able to do his work without the internet, and he's worried that if he doesn't choose to pay an extra fee for some kind of service, it could impact his ability to get access to weather and climate data sets that are particularly voluminous, that just have a lot of information and that depend on rapid transmission.
So is that the primary kind of concern that you've been hearing is high-speed access to large volumes of data?
That's one concern that I heard. Another concern, I spoke with someone else who's in the academic publishing and library space, and one of her concerns, her kind of – she imagines a worst-case scenario where internet service providers, broadband providers – just cut off access to entire content areas online. She worries about topics in science that are considered politically sensitive that could get different treatment. So she uses the example of climate change studies that could be slowed down or blocked, and worries that this would threaten good science. But I should say that this is just a kind of an imagined worst-case scenario. There's no evidence yet that companies would do this kind of thing. And in fact, someone else that I spoke to who works for a policy, kind of libertarian policy think tank, said he can't imagine the financial incentives that companies would have to do this kind of blocking of particular science content.
Do we have any sense of how soon we might start to see changes? I mean, the new rules are now in effect, but likely to take, what, weeks, months? Do we know how long before we might see new policies coming from service providers?
No, it's a little unclear. I think that it's going to be probably phased out gradually, and it's not like it's going to change overnight.
could there actually be benefits for some areas of science as well as some of these potential problems that you've heard about? Have you heard anyone saying, actually, this could be a good thing for my research?
Yes. I heard a couple of arguments that actually speak to the possible benefit of a repeal of net neutrality. So one idea is that could actually encourage innovation. And so the idea is that that right now the internet treats all data streams the same. It's someone I spoke to called the internet kind of a set of dumb pipes that regard traffic identically. But you could imagine a smarter network where companies are able to prioritize certain services over others. So just to create that kind of network would encourage innovation. But then thinking about what those services might be. So you could imagine critical services like emergency help, 911, or cybersecurity monitoring, things that probably many people would argue are really important that could be prioritized over other types of traffic. And I spoke with someone else who talked to me about emerging fields that would really benefit from having their traffic prioritized. So one example is in fields like medicine, in particular remote robotic surgery, where you have a physician in one place who is sitting far away from where the actual surgery is taking place and controlling a robot in a remote destination that is actually performing the surgery on the patient. And so you would want that data to move really, really fast because this is a scenario in which someone's life hangs in the balance. Another scenario is driverless cars that currently rely on the cloud to process all of the visual information that's happening in front of them on a changing road. So the cars have to make decisions immediately in order to figure out where to move and how to get from one place to another and navigate all of the things that are happening in front of them. And so that data needs to move really quickly. So you could imagine that prioritizing that transfer of big quantities of visual data is really important to keep people safe on the roads.
And presumably, as you were just saying, this kind of cuts both ways. You can imagine a political scenario in which perhaps there's an incentive to stymie the flow of information about climate change. But on the other hand, there could be a situation in which you could maybe say we want to prioritize things like weather forecasting and our understanding of climate. It's more of a, I guess, a political and a social decision there.
Yeah, and I think and a financial decision too, because I think companies will be making some of these choices also based on different pricing schemes and who can afford to pay for faster internet access. So I think there are just a lot of questions. We're not exactly sure how it's going to unfold, but it does change the playing field rather dramatically. And I think the question we're left with is, now that internet express lanes are allowed, who's going to get access?
That's Ari Daniel. He's a senior digital producer for Nova. Ari, thanks so much.
It was my pleasure, Heather. Thanks for having me on.